Well, welcome everyone to Dr. Jack's Lantern, The Light to a Better Life. I'm Donna Smith, and I'm a longtime resident of Central Florida with a 501c3 that helps stressed individuals become entrepreneurs. And I'm here with Leon Mauser, who is also a longtime resident of Florida, the father of three beautiful daughters and six precious grandchildren. Leon is a close friend of Dr. Jack Reshkam, and the two of us will be taking you on a journey through Dr. Jack's writings. Now, Dr. Jack Reshkam is a veteran, a doctor, a husband, and a father, and has spent decades studying the Bible and sharing that knowledge with others. It was obviously a calling from God that caused him to create his immense work. And through these podcasts of Dr. Jack's Lantern, The Light to a Better Life, we'll be sharing his work with you. Now, the Bible is a unique combination of history and messaging for all of us to live by. Each week, we hope to share this history and its messages in a way which makes the Bible a working part of each of our daily lives. Now, in our podcast episodes, we'll be reminding you that you can find complete information about the past and upcoming podcasts and our local involvement and general information on our website at drjackslantern.com. Now, we feel the combination of Dr. Jack's 30-plus years of developing a new look at the Bible, which is rooted in everyday life more than any others we know of, combined with today's technology, it will bring out a new look at the Bible's magic, relating it to our lives. Now, our goal is to get youth more involved and maybe even develop those who wish to become teachers or leaders themselves. We hope that young adults find Dr. Jack's database attractive enough to use it to teach and instruct their peers while they are learning too. Now, it is an ambitious program, but we feel it's worth it and very necessary to contribute to making our society a better place. We believe Dr. Reshkam has created something unique that will survive the test of time. Therefore, we're very happy to have this opportunity of bringing to you Dr. Jack's Lantern for all to hear and read. Let's go ahead and start with a prayer, Leon.
Yes, why don't we? Thank you, Lord, for this day, this beautiful day. Thank you for allowing us to gather together and learn more about how you love us. Thank you for allowing us to get to know each other and love each other the way that Jesus loved us. In Christ's name, I pray, amen.
Amen. So in our last podcast, we talked about aligning our belief system with God in order to stay right or on a straight path. I think it's interesting, Leon, that we did it on the day of the total eclipse of the sun across our United States. Think about that exact alignment of the moon, sun, and earth for that to happen. Now, the news was all over mentioning it, that the solar eclipse was like a spiritual experience. But isn't it sad that our news doesn't mention how great our God is for how he works to make all these things happen? Now, we can, with confidence, say that God designed it that way. For in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, it tells us how it all began. In Psalms 148, it talks about the sun, moon, and stars, and says about them, the stars, moon, stars, let them all praise the Lord's name. For the Lord commanded, and they were created, assigned them duties forever, gave them tasks that will never change. Now, God uses his creation, right, to talk to us. He warns us when we're going to astray. He uses that to warn us, too. And reading the Bible, I feel, is like reading tomorrow's newspaper, if we just have the eyes to see and ears to hear. Now, the New Test, I thought this might be food for thought and hopefully to drive people further into the Bible. Here are just a few more of the many verses regarding this topic, and it's hopefully for people to think about. In the New Testament, we have Luke 21, verse 25, and it states, and there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and waves. In the Old Testament, Amos 8 reminds us, never will I forget a thing they have done. Shall not the land tremble because of this, and all who dwell in it mourn? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun set at midday and make the earth with darkness in broad daylight. Joel, second chapter, Joel, verse 31. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood at the coming of the day of the Lord, the great and dreadful day. There's more in Acts. There's more in Matthew. Okay. There's even more in the book of Revelation. So great is our God, we just want to remind people to listen to him because he is talking to us. And as Jesus said, I have told you all things. And that is what we're trying to do here, right, Leon?
That's right.
We're trying to attempt to have people read God's letter to us and understand that he is telling us how we are to live and how we're to treat others. And that includes ourselves, how we're supposed to treat ourselves. And that is what today's topic is about, self-acceptance.
Self-acceptance, yes. Our next two lessons will be about self-acceptance. Let's take another look at the first three questions Dr. Jack asked in his topic, Spiritual Basis for Bible Study. To express our major spiritual concerns are, who am I? What am I supposed to do or not do? And third, where am I going? You know, as teens, we wake up every day and we look in the mirror. Who do you see? Do you see a confident person who feels good about themselves, ready to take on the tasks of the day? Or do you see someone who questions, how can I be happy with myself for the rest of the day? These are some of the questions regarding self-acceptance.
You know, most kids are overly concerned about their bodies and what others think. I'm saying to themselves things like, you know, I'm too short or my nose is too big or is it the right size? My eyes are too close together, you know, all things like that. And that's a shame. That's just a shame that they're so overly focused on that.
You know, that is. And there's so many personal challenges that teens face today. So let's try to sort some of them out using Light to a Better Life series. Now, if you want to build something, you need to have a good foundation. So I would like to begin this topic with a foundation that we can find in Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 11.
Leon, this is one of my favorite proverbs, but before you quote it and we really get into it, there's a little education that I'd like to cover, and we're going to be doing that throughout our podcast. We'll be quoting all the Bible. And people need to know that the original Bible manuscripts were written in Hebrew and Aramaic. And there are some words that were translated into the Greek when they first did the translation, and words that actually are different in our English language now. It's a word that they can actually go back in like the Strong's Concordance and go, oh, this was the original Hebrew word, and that word in English means this. Anyway, one of those is a very misunderstood word a lot of times where it's translated into the word is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs 2 does have that word fear. And here, the word isn't fear, it's revere, which means deep respect.
Mm-hmm.
Not the typical English word that we understand when we read fear of frightened or scared. So I just would like to make sure that people understand that we'll do that every once in a while when we come across these words that can be a little confusing. So please, read my favorite proverb.
That's what we're here for. Proverbs 2, 1 to 11. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as if for silver and search for it as if for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you.
Boy, when you think of what God just told all of us in this one proverb alone, you can understand why it's one of my favorites. You know, Satan is always looking for those who will listen to sinful temptation, and then he exploits that weakness. And to be honest, we have not been taught, in fact, in many cases, even denied our history and understanding, at least for the last several decades, the battle that we are actually up against. We've forgotten that this is a war between God and Satan, and that by sinning, we have actually taken the side of Satan. And that's why what Proverbs said and so many other places throughout the Bible is so important on us, on how we are to live and being on God's side. Again, building that foundation. And this is what we're trying to do, is make people understand their foundation. How we view ourselves really helps us recognize what side we're on.
Yeah, that's right, Donna. You know, I recently asked some younger folks if they understand the difference between self-acceptance and self-esteem. You know, from the several answers I received, they were confusing at best. And I decided to make a little distinction. So the difference between self-esteem and self-acceptance. Now, self-esteem and self-acceptance, they're related, but distinct concepts. And both play an important role in our psychological health and well-being. Understanding the difference between them can help for our personal development. So, self-esteem refers to how much you value yourself and your own worth. It's a result somewhat of your self-belief system you've been developing since your birth, and that was what we discussed in the previous podcast. It's a measure that encompasses beliefs about yourself. For example, I'm competent or I'm worthy, and emotional states reflecting those beliefs. High self-esteem generally means having a positive attitude towards oneself and feeling confident in one's abilities and value as a person.
There's a quote by John Canfield. He made a distinction with self-esteem, saying that it's made up primarily of two things, feeling loved and feeling capable.
No, that's right. And sometimes, notice self-esteem can be influenced by external achievements and validation, and it tends to fluctuate based on circumstances such as successes or failures in various areas of your life. That will happen. Now, self-acceptance is a broader and more unconditional form of self-regard. It involves acknowledging or knowing and accepting all facets of oneself, including weaknesses and limitations, without judgment or self-criticism. How about that? Yeah. This concept goes merely beyond evaluating oneself positively. It includes a genuine acceptance of all aspects of yourself, both good and bad. You know, self-acceptance is considered more stable than self-esteem because it does not depend heavily on external circumstances or achievements. It is more about internal peace and contentment with who you are. And we'll be covering more of this on our next podcast.
Okay.
Navigating the ups and downs of the teenage years, that can be a complex task for both teens and parents. Low self-esteem during those formative years can have long-lasting impacts affecting how young people interact with the world around them, from social situations to their mental health. The good news is that healthy self-esteem can be cultivated and nurtured, and offering a strong foundation for a positive outlook on life. You know, one of the most common suggestions to improve self-esteem is to use affirmations. Some studies have found affirmations are effective for teens, but only if they become a habit and if they're spontaneous. So, positive affirmation is the key to change your negative internal self-talk to something positive. That only happens with consistent practice.
You know, a lot of people, especially teens, they struggle to actually come up with an affirmation that they like or want, something that helps them believe in themselves. Now, just affirmations in general, a great suggestion is to get them from others who love you. Kind of going back into that, what self-esteem is, feeling that, feeling love. So those that love you and know you well can actually tell a person a good affirmation that they can use. And it's interesting because even I, as an adult, have an affirmation regarding business. I mean, on the business side for me. And it was, you know, it's a self-affirmation that I put on my mirror in the bathroom. And people go, well, why do you do that? And it's because when you wake up, your subconscious is still working. And so if you are reading something right away in the morning, it actually gets into your subconscious and makes it continue to work out throughout the day. So that's one of the reasons why people say put those affirmations first thing in the morning to get it. So,
you know, I have one also, and I change it once in a while, depending upon what I want to accomplish. And really it actually helps. It proves health. But again, we have to be consistent and we have to do it deliberately. But an important note, the affirmations, like especially ones if you're getting them from other people, they need to be specific and honest. Vague praises like you're so smart, or an inflated phrase like you're an incredible talent of ours, those often backfire with low self-esteem. So they're not going to help much to do that. You know, in a 2022 piece in American Psychologist, it said self-esteem, it can be cultivated through realistic feedback rather than inflated praise, and a focus on self-improvement rather than on outperforming others. So make it specific, such as, I will get an A in my history course this semester. Or how about, I'll learn to get along with that unfriendly neighbor by using kind words. You know, affirmations allow you to stay aligned with God and to remain on your journey of sanctification with Him. We bring along Proverbs 19, verse 8 says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who cherishes understanding prospers. You know, there's a basketball star, Shaquille O'Neal. He's doing a lot of commercials now. And in one of his commercials, I remember seeing, he says, I am comfortable in my own skin. That's interesting. Well, my question to you is, how do you feel in your own skin?
As you can see, Leon, this is one of those really important topics that we want the youth to be discussing with each other. They will have all kinds of things to suggest to each other and say what works and didn't work or what I'm up against, a lot better than the two of us trying to speak to them. And that is why we have the ability to set up private video meetings. Now, private, that means that's not like a Zoom call where anybody can actually get in and take a look at that. These are private. And we can set up even breakout rooms. So if people are talking about a certain topic and then they have a lot of people and they want to do little breakout rooms, we have that ability to do that too. So this is one of the things that we want to be available to everybody and make them realize, because obviously these topics have, there's so much more that they can talk about than we can. So
that's for sure. You know, the reason that we are set apart from others is because we allow that conversation. And it's so important for teens to get together and talk with each other and study the Bible together with each other. And that's just such an important thing. And it's the key to learning how to love God, because studying the Bible is God's just telling you, hey, here I am. This is me. And then what you've got to do is you've got to go on ahead and learn how to love Him like He wants you to. You know, another self-esteem topic that a majority of adolescents have, it's body image concerns. And statistics clearly show the connection to self-esteem. And social media contributes a lack of confidence that teens feel about their bodies.
Oh, yes, Leon, that is so true. And you think about how they are constantly being bombarded with pictures of skinny models and perfect abs and hair in the perfect condition. And they don't even realize how much airbrushing and touching up is being done computerized. And they just think that that's the way they're supposed to be. And it's like, no, they're not perfect either. And then, of course, after being bombarded with all that, those pictures and things, they look in the mirror and they actually feel ugly and so imperfect. And then on top of that, you add comments from other people, especially through social media. They can be so cruel, and they completely lack any politeness or accountability, because that just seems to go out the window because they're not face-to-face. They're not talking to each other. They're just typing it in on social media. You know, why worry about what someone's going to think or say or what I'm saying if I'm hiding behind a computer or phone?
And, you know, that's so important because there's no feedback on social media. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, the accountability is not there, although we do know that they're trying to get rid of stuff that they don't want people to know about. And it's like, oh, and that's a whole nother topic. But that's why what we're doing, we feel, is so important, because it is private and it is out there. And no Facebook or TikTok or something else is going to turn around and say, you're talking about religion, off you go. You know, they're not going to cut us off.
And you know what? I've noticed that family members can influence them heavily. You know, teens who hear negative conversations about their body and dieting end up being even more dissatisfied with their bodies and unhealthy eating habits. Because, you know, you're sitting around the table and Uncle Joe comes over and he's really proud of being 340 pounds and he can eat 12 donuts in one sitting. And, you know, that's really not the type of influence that you would really want to have to take care of your body image.
You know, I remember hearing how we used to think that parents and family members are the biggest influencer on the kids. And that is actually still true, but the percentage has gone down with social media. The peer pressure is number two, without a doubt, and it's gaining. And I think that's partly because parents aren't taking as much control as they should. And that positive influence, I mean, family and friends should be loving you, and that is a big thing. But again, we leave out the spiritual side, and that's what society has done, and even families have forgotten that you can have these foundations coming, and if you go to align yourself with God, like we've been saying, you can go a completely different direction and be so much further ahead, and having that, you know, positive self-esteem, acceptance, and how you do life. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 shows us one of the ways. You know, again, the Bible has it. God's saying, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, and who is in you, whom you have received from God? It's literally saying, don't you realize everything that you have, no matter how you look? You think your nose is too big, your eyes are too close together. I don't care. I did this. I want you to be this way. It's not what everybody else is saying. So affirmations really help address these points. And especially if you make the affirmations align with what God is saying, it will help you align with God and giving us good and healthy self-esteem.
And, you know, aligning with God is just a way of showing you how you're returning His love for you. Because, you know, He did create us in His image. And all we're doing by loving Him is we're just telling Him that we appreciate Him creating us in that way. You know, as parents, we need to say more positive things about ourselves and about our bodies if we want teenagers to have a healthy self-esteem. So you keep Uncle Joe out of the house would be one of the ways to do it. And, you know, they do pay attention more than what parents realize. You know, they won't do what you say, but they'll do what they see you doing. And they internalize what we say and believe, which is shown in our actions and words. One study stresses the importance of openly discussing body image concerns with teens. This includes addressing family concerns as well as social media influences. You know, when a young adult has more positive outlook on body image, they have high self-esteem, do less emotional eating, and are less likely to develop an eating disorder. So, maybe.
Yeah. One of the best things adults can do for their children is to help them be more physically active. And getting them into team sports not only builds confidence, but introduces them to other like-minded people who can help build their self-esteem. And, of course, there is nothing like showing an, by example, active parents biking, walking, going to the gym.
You know, I feel much better when I'm exercising regularly, and I try to do it as much as I can. At my age, it's not real easy, but I know that it's the best thing that's going to keep my mind sharp, and it's going to keep me in more reverence with God. Even simple movements like, you know, walk, going for a walk, take the dog for the walk, do some yoga videos, go for a swim. Just things that you can develop into your daily habits. You know, science supports the benefits of physical activity for improved mental health and self-esteem. With more activity, a team feels more confident, capable of accepting themselves.
You know, along with physical activity is providing the creative creative outlet. I personally think they go hand in hand. But music and art are the two ones that they think of the most. But there's so much more. I mean, writing, poetry, school plays, choirs, especially religious choirs, youth groups in the religious programs. They're even cheerleading. That's physical. So there's a lot to do.
Yeah, there is a lot to do. What about social skills building? You know, for parents to help teens develop social skills such as active listening, empathy, and assertiveness, positive interactions with others can boost self-esteem. Help teens identify their strengths and their talents, discuss what they excel at, and how they can use these abilities to overcome challenges. Be honest with your peers about their gifts from God and realizing that God has given all of us a fair share of it. Yes, that's right. I believe everyone has skills, and it may be just that they're hidden and need some good advice from someone to have them revealed to them.
And we're not just saying, you know, we're not just saying this. God gave us talents, and we have the Bible to back that up, what we're saying. Let's remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. And you know, we should all remember that small changes over a period of time make a huge difference. They make huge differences. But we need to be persistent in performing the activity, even if it only takes a few minutes. You know, Leon, there are also several studies that show that poor eating habits contributes to depression and self-esteem. Okay, so even eating fruits and vegetables will make a difference. But like you said, there's a lot more to talk about with self-esteem. But then you go into self-acceptance, and that is something we're going to do in the next podcast. So,
and we hope that you join us for that, because we're actually running out of time now.
Yes. If there's any questions, you can go onto our website and you can type it in, and Dr. Jack will actually answer these questions. So we want to remind everybody that that is available to them. If we want to bow our heads and just say, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, for being together and learning more about your word. And we hope to continue and put that into our lives every day practice. And in Jesus' precious name, bless us all.
Amen.
Man. Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Leon.
Thank you, Donna.